your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the show. I have with me today Wally Carmichael of Men of Abundance Podcast, BusinessOwnerGrowth.com, and WallyCarmichael.com. Wally, how you doing today, brother?
Man, I am absolutely outstanding. And just like you, this is my last call for the day.
Last, but not least important. That's for darn sure. We've both been all over the world today. We've been speaking to people combined, Greece, Canada, Tampa, Virginia, just talking to the world this morning. But we got a chance to reconnect here. I've talked to Wally a couple of times. Thank you so much for having me as a guest on your Men of Abundance podcast. That was a lot of fun. It's not often that I get to be in the hot seat. But I wanted to return the favor and put you in the hot seat today and see what you've got to offer. I know we're going to talk about scarcity versus abundance mindset today, but why don't you give the listeners a little bit of background on one or all three of your businesses, what you do and why you care so much?
Well, that's a great question. And I first have to say I first had the opportunity to see you. You didn't see me because I was watching you on Cup of Joe with Rosie and Valerie over there at Action Zone out here with me in Tampa. And man, I was just listening to your story and seeing what you're doing. I was like, oh my God, this dude is freaking awesome. He's perfect for Men of Abundance. He is in fact a true abundant leader, and have to have that conversation. So I'm glad we did. And that'll be posting here shortly. But you know, that whole journey, that whole Men of Abundance journey came out of me sitting in a gazebo in front of my house, which was on the beach in Hawaii on a Saturday morning, and had my headset in, which I'm wearing right now, listening to probably Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income, trying to figure out how to, you know, earn that coveted six-figure income and live this amazing life that I was seeking, not realizing that, you know, my son's out in the water playing, and as he yells at me, Dad, you know, come and play. And I motioned to my headset that I'm listening to something, got my coffee there. And when his facial expression changed from excitement to disappointment, it hit me. And I didn't say at that point in time, I'm sure that I was living a life of abundance, but I just realized, and my wife's voice, who was still asleep in the house behind me, by the way, saying, Wally, what the hell are you chasing? And here I was, I want to paint the picture real quick, which I kind of already did. I'm sitting on the beach in Hawaii, had already been living there for about 6 or 7 years at that point, retired from the military, got a great civilian job, got a six-figure income. Again, living in Hawaii, this beautiful life, beautiful family, everybody healthy, and I'm still searching for more. And it finally hit me at that point, and I was still working and hard, and I'm not, you know, wanted to keep going, but at some point, I just realized I'm living this life of abundance. And so I started this journey of writing a book called Living Your Life of Abundance, which I've yet to write, by the way, several years later, because I just got sidetracked. And I was listening to John Lee Dumas, and John Lee saying, you know, of Entrepreneur on Fire, you can start your own podcast. And I'm like, I can? Really? What would I talk about? Ironically enough, I ended up getting invited to another event where this guy helps people write books. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. One of my friends invited me to this. In fact, one of the original cast members from Hawaii Five-0 was in the room. There's only like 20 or 30 of us. And he's like, if you were to write a book, what would it be called? And that's where I came up with the idea, Living Your Life of Abundance. Well, I'm not going to go through the whole bit, but the bottom line is that turned into a podcast. That podcast turned into people asking me to coach them in living a life of abundance. Even one spouse contacted me. She says, look, I've been listening to your show. I love it. Your voice is so soothing, which blew me away. I hate my voice. And she said, I want you to, we make great money. I want you to coach my husband in your mindset. And I was like, ma'am, I'm honored, but it doesn't work like that. He's got to listen to the show. He's got to want to be coached. And I don't coach. That's not what I do. But enough people started asking me and I started doing it. And it evolved into what I do now as a business and marketing strategist, because that was my true passion, just business and marketing, just strategy, just studying it my entire life. And so I combined the abundance mindset with business mastery and came up with Abundance and Prosperity Business Mastery, LLC. And So that's kind of brings you up to speed on my professional life long before I joined, or after I joined the military.
But no, that's really cool. And, you know, as we describe it, as we talked before, there's a lot of areas in my life that I know I'm living abundantly. But sometimes that little dark voice in there talks about, well, you don't have it as good as someone else. Or what are you trying to really do with this podcast? You have enough. What are you even talking about, Travis? And it can get you if you're not paying attention. It can eat at you, and it can pry a little hole in that armor that, you know, we all seem to put up around ourselves, and, you know, make you think that your life is something other than what it is. And, you know, just by stats, if you're alive, you beat like 400 trillion to one odds. If you live in America, that's like 330 million people out of like 7.6 billion. You know, the odds that you've already, if you're listening to this and you're in America, in fact, if you're listening to a podcast anywhere, you're in a country that's safe enough, that is advanced enough to have this kind of technology, because you're listening to a conversation that we're having that's, 1,500 miles apart, and you're listening to it anywhere in the world. I think we're in 40 countries right now. Surprisingly, have this huge following in India, which I think is funny, but it's pretty cool anyway. All my guests, all my listeners in India, thank you so much. But it's just nuts. If you're able to listen to a podcast, the amount of abundance that you have in your life, regardless if you feel that way or not, is astounding, especially even compared to 30 years ago, to the early 90s, where you didn't even have dial-up internet yet. I think it's like 18 months. Every 18 months, we're doubling our capacity for processing speed. And it's just astronomical what we're able to do and accomplish and connect with wonderful people like yourself, Wally. Thanks so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you say that people listening to your show in India. I haven't checked my stats in a very long time. My show's been running for almost 5 years now. And right now I'm looking at my stats, and there's more people listening in India than there are in the United States right now in the last 28 days. Usually, it's crazy. And then Australia, New Zealand, Canada, South Africa, really? And 27 other countries. It blows my mind that and I started this podcast, by the way. I started my podcast while I was in Hawaii from the cab of my Toyota, to 2011 Toyota Tacoma, and was even tethering off the internet from a Starbucks that I would park outside of. And I took a couple of pictures of me years ago, just for that, you know, so I could document it at some point. There I am sitting in the cab of my truck with my microphone and my laptop in my lap. Where it should be, because it's a laptop. But anyhow, and I'm looking, you know, sometimes looking over the beach and stuff when I finally realized I could tether off my phone. but those are some of my favorite episodes, man, because it just started so long ago. But it's just amazing the technology we have that we can connect. But, you know, the whole idea behind the abundance mindset versus the scarcity mindset, as soon as I made that realization that I was truly living a life of abundance and started being more grateful for what I already had in my life, the weirdest thing happened. And many people out there have told you this time and time again. If you've ever read any personal, personal development book or anything of that nature, is the mindset is everything. And once I started making that realization, so much more came into my life. For instance, that invitation to go see Patrick Snow talk about writing a book. And then the introduction to, and then that podcast with John Lee Dumas, who I'd already been listening to for months. And all of a sudden he's saying, you know, started one of his podcast courses and you could do this podcast course. And I was like, well, that sounds neat, but what would I talk about? And then now it's evolved into two podcasts and it's evolved into a business. But more importantly, I've gotten connected and had conversations with some of the most amazing people. I mean, I've had conversations with people you'd never hear of. I would have never heard of. I contacted Jay Papasan, co-author of The One Thing with, I think it was, who did he write that with? Gary, was it Gary Keller? I forget who he co-wrote that with. But anyway, I reached out to him on Twitter and he's like, yeah, absolutely. I'll be on your show. I'm like, what? That's crazy. I've had a conversation with Jeff Hoffman, the founder of Priceline.com 20 some odd years ago, a billionaire. We shared a virtual stage together. I reached out to him. He's like, yeah, absolutely. I'll come on your show. And since then, we've started kind of working together on some stuff. But it's just opened up so many doors to have the abundance mindset versus the scarcity mindset. And to take it even further, I have conversations with people on my show who do the same thing that I do. And people have asked me, Wally, why would you have conversations with people that are competition to you? And I'm like, why would I not? I can't possibly work with everybody that, and I don't want to work with everybody. But these folks have things that I can learn from. And there's people out there that absolutely want to, you know, improve their business or improve their marketing, improve their profit margins, but they may not relate to me. I'm very blunt and direct when I coach and when I talk with people. And some of these people just have a different approach and have different strategies. And I want to learn from every single one of them. And I want to lift them up. It's all about sharing the wealth, right?
Absolutely. I'm a nonprofit consultant on the side. I help walk people through whatever their struggle is. I help put the next $30,000 of donations in your nonprofit. But I bring on other fundraisers and other consultants and people that would rival me. Or it is not about that at all. There's 7.6 billion people on the planet, 7.6, 7.8. So that is more than enough to go around. There's people that are going to absolutely love what I have to say, and they're going to love the way I do things, and they're going to be all on board. And there's some people like, you know, Travis, I think you're kind of weird, so I'm going to go with someone else. That's totally cool. I have a list of people I can refer you to that might be your cup of tea when I'm not. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I wouldn't have been able to say that a few years ago. 10 years ago, I was not in this place. I was in the scarcity side of the mindset that I had to get everything for my family that I possibly could because it wasn't going to happen any other way. And there's a difference between having that drive because that's your drive for you and your family and having that as this need, because if you don't scratch at it and try to claw and get it, you're not going to have it. And, you know, I wasn't always in this abundant mindset. And I mentioned it kind of in the intro, there's days where, you know, you slip back into those things and you start thinking that there's not enough. And it's just not true. And I love that you have conversations with Jeff Hoffman and all the people that you've connected to, because it's so interesting. The more you have and the more you switch your attitude to gratitude, it's the key to unlocking everything that we have. This abundance that says there's always going to be enough. You know, when I didn't have enough money, we got on a budget and we decided that even though we were scraping the bottom of the barrel where budget was very tight, we decided to give. And when we decided to give, that flipped our household into an abundance household. That changed from a closed hand for every dollar that comes in to an open hand of every dollar that comes in, because it's going to come in and it's going to go out. But because we changed to that attitude and that place of giving, it completely changed the trajectory our family was on. It changed the trajectory our marriage was on. We went from having money fights to never fighting about money again. We haven't had a money fight in 15 or more years because we got on the same page. We got on the same budget and we started giving was the key. Being on the same page, very important. Also, giving was the key to unlocking everything that we were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the same for us. I want to share something with you that's like literally brand new, just not even an hour old. In reference to giving, because listen, guys, all of you, everybody out there listening, giving doesn't mean just giving of monetary, it's giving of your time, treasures, or talents. And giving, if you want to be a master at something, teach other people, because you only know a topic to the point to where you can teach somebody else. And that's the way to master something, is to do it and teach it. Not everybody can teach, though. I've learned that. But listen, I got contacted by somebody, and I'll leave the name out of it, but this is actually a Navy veteran who has separated from the military and is now a financial advisor, and reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, I'm always looking for connections, you know, to fellow veterans. And I didn't reply right away. Once I accepted, I get a message that's obviously a bot that says, or automated, it looks like, would love to share what I do as a financial advisor, blah, blah, blah. Ready for a quick chat, you know. A couple of days later, let's see, it was about 15 days later. Hey, haven't heard back from you. I'd like to get on a quick call with you. And then again, hey, Wally, haven't heard back from you. Would like to open up a quick chat. And then again, you know, so anyway, finally I reply back and I say, you know, please share a topic that you would, you know, a topic for our chat, because I'm very busy. I've got one-on-one clients. I'm going to start a group coaching program because of I want to help more people. I'm just busy. And, oh, by the way, I want to live my life, right? So I don't spend a whole lot of time on social media, and I don't answer. I've got over 30 requests in LinkedIn right now that I haven't even responded to. So she finally, you know, I finally say, okay, you know, what would be the topic of discussion? And she says, I'm just looking to help out fellow vets, build complete financial plans. So I'm just reaching out to see if I can help, you. Well, I'm financially free and have been for a couple of years. I could fully retire right now, but she's a veteran and I want to help her out. She's obviously not marketing right. She's brand new in the industry. And I basically engaged in a conversation with her and I started sharing all this information with her. And then she came straight out and said, I don't know if I'll be able to find it here specifically, but she basically came out and said, hey, look, I'm brand, you know, I greatly appreciate the help. Since I'm brand new, I don't have no way to, or I don't plan on paying for any services or anything like that. So my response was, I got it. What did I say? And I'm sharing this with you because it's relevant to our conversation right now. Understood. Lesson one. Don't assume everyone who wants to assist wants something in return. This is not a common thought process. That leads to lesson two. Provide as much education and information to others with no expectation of reciprocation, whether they are your ideal client or not. And I go on to kind of share why that is so important. And the reason why that is so important is because, especially when you're brand new, you have to prove your worth. And by her sharing, it's going to conjure up questions that she's not going to know the answers to, that she's going to have to go find and then come back and show that she really cares about what she's doing. And she doesn't even have a niche or anything like that. I share that with you because it's just ingrained in who I am at this point. It's a muscle. It takes time. And even still, I get caught in the scarcity mindset sometimes. There's stuff going on in the world that I'm like, oh my God. And then I start going down a different rabbit hole and I'm like, pull back, do some meditation, think about what's going on. Is this beneficial? Is this argument important? Is it good for you personally at this point in time? Is there anything you can do about it? No. Okay, then get out of it, you know, type of thing.
I love that you're taking the time to provide value wherever you can. I have a little note card for those of you who don't know behind my screen right here. It's got a couple of checklist items, you know, hit record, look at the camera. It's got a little arrow towards the camera. It's got the things that I really care about, mindset, teaching, and monthly giving. And then it's got my personal motto on there, you know, just in case I need a reminder. And it's elevate everyone and provide value without expectation. And the key there is the without expectation. If I'm going to a networking event and I'm trying to connect just so you can, you know, quote unquote, buy my stuff, then I'm not there to provide value. I'm there as a taker, trying to take anything I can get from anyone else. And if you go there without that expectation, you just go to give value, all the things that you wanted eventually are going to be in your lap. The context that you need, the sales goal that you're trying to meet, the whatever it is that you don't have in your toolbox yet is going to come to you. Because you're there creating value and connection and building real relationships, this radiant relationship value just by being there and providing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you one thing that a lot of people don't think about that I've learned over the years. A great example is my conversation with Jeff Hoffman. Now, here's a guy who's full-on serial entrepreneur. I mean, multi-million to billion-dollar businesses. What can I possibly add to Jeff? Well, after having a conversation with him and seeing what he's doing with Pitbull and Richard Branson and stuff like that, it's helping with Pitbull specifically out here in Miami. He's helping minority business owners who are taking a huge hit with the COVID. And specifically the lockdowns. The COVID isn't really affecting them as much as the lockdowns are. And then other follow-on issues with that. So they got a program where they're working together. And as it turns out, they need more people to provide their services in business and coaching strategies, marketing and business strategies. And so we're working on a process to where I can provide my services. Now, they need it on a large scale. So, of course, I'm training other coaches in my strategies to come aboard to help out with that. But I would have never even two years ago, I would have, no, I'd say more than that at this point, 5 years ago, I would have never considered having a conversation with Jeff and even considering that I could have anything to offer to him in any way, shape, or form. But you never know until you have that conversation and you go in not expecting anything.
It's so interesting that we don't realize like the power that's within each of us. I interviewed Vincent James, and he runs Keep Music Alive, and he's frequently one of the episodes I share because what he provides in there is this is real value. He walks us through the process of how he initiates contact with celebrities to get them to help promote his cause of keeping music alive. He has Julie Andrews, Jack Black, and a whole list of other people that have, you know, they love music. And because he went forward and made the connection, and now, you know, you're not getting a yes with every email, of course. It might take 100, 200. It might take 3, 4, 5 follow-ups with the same person. But he's getting these celebrities to come on and promote his cause. And who would have ever thought, you know, 30 years ago, 1990, you know, no one's doing that. No one's contacting celebrities unless you're a big corporation. But now with Twitter, with email, with organizations that they keep track of all the agents and all the gatekeepers, you can track down and get whomever you like. You can have a conversation with them via email, via the internet, or, you know, surprise phone call, and you can connect with people. And they care much more than we think that they do. They have a cause, they have a mission, they have something in their background that they care about. And if you contact someone, you know, like Adrian Peterson has a foundation, he's on my two contact list, because he cares about providing resources for kids in inner cities to do things that they're not able to do, you know, do for them what sports did for him. And if you can talk about that passion and that mission and that vision, you can connect with them on a level that makes sense. Why not? Yes. Why not be on your show? Why not stump for your nonprofit? Why not collaborate on some future event? Why not? Why not you?
Absolutely. And especially once you have a platform for people, you know, I don't know, a great example of that. Do you know who Steve Sims is?
I know the name.
He wrote a book called Blue Fishing, The Art of Making Things Happen.
That is on my to read list.
Listen to it because he narrates it. And, you know, he's got that I'm going to screw it up. He's got that accent. I'll just put it that way. But Steve is a great dude, man. And Steve has been on my show, and he and I have had conversations. In fact, this Friday, he's got a virtual happy hour. We've been doing this virtual happy hour. I forget when he first started, him and his son, months ago during, you know, when COVID first kicked off. And we're sitting here having, you know, old fashions together because that's his favorite drink. And he shows you how to make an old fashioned, and we just sit and tell stupid dad jokes. We filled the room. We had over 40 people in there, and it blew his mind, you know, but I made a lot of connections just through that. But Steve is that guy who makes those connections. That's what his whole business is about, getting people to sit down and have, you know, an anniversary dinner and even a wedding in the Vatican. Got a guy to get up on stage and sing 3 songs with Journey, you know, before they broke up years ago. I mean, the guy's just bold as, I mean, and he's the reason why I keep a little card here like you. It says be bold with a little Lego on it because that's my little guy, you know, and so I'm always being bold for him. But it's just amazing the people that you can reach out to and have conversations with. And Steve's the epitome of that. So definitely highly recommend that book and connecting with Steve in general. But, you know, specifically with a lot of your listeners, most of your listeners are working in the nonprofit sector and wanting to start a nonprofit. And one of the conversations that I thought of from many years ago was with a guy, Jeremy Paris, who used to have a podcast called Veteran Resources Podcast, and now it's on YouTube. And he told me a story, and I've seen this as well, but his story really resonates with me in that he was, since he gets to talk to so many different nonprofits, and you've probably heard this as well, that they're all kind of blocking each other. You know, don't go to that, not do this. And it's like, wait a minute, you're all serving the same people, but the question is why? That's the question you have to ask is why are you serving these people? If it's for your personal gain and for your personal recognition or even your personal bank account, then you're definitely in it for the wrong reason, regardless of who it is. And you can collaborate with others that are serving the same people and ultimately meet the goal so much better than you could ever could by yourself. That's my thought process anyway.
When nonprofits collaborate, and I've seen it, it's big here in Oklahoma City. I know it's big in a couple of other areas, Tampa included, is when nonprofits partner together, the community wins. Everyone in the community wins because they're going to have a resource or a contact that you need that they have that you would never have imagined, but you would just have to have a couple of conversations with them. Like, oh, you haven't talked to Wally and been on the Men of Abundance podcast yet? Oh, let me get you connected with Wally. He's fantastic. It's no problem. It's not a big ask, but you would have no idea. And nonprofits are some of the worst at this. And I'm kind of poking at my own industry of not talking together, not working together. There's 53,000 veteran nonprofits in the U.S. And Nick Valentine and his crew at Operation Fam Support, they're doing a great job outside of Fort Hood and Killeen. They're doing a phenomenal job. He had me on his Veterans Be Real podcast. He's doing a phenomenal job down there working with anyone and everyone in the community to come together to serve Killeen and that greater Fort Hood area.
I was just hanging out with, I went and visited him at his shop down there just during Thanksgiving.
But there's people all over the country that are doing this well in different pockets. But you talk to some people and they feel like there's only one donor in town that they absolutely got to have. And if someone else gets it, they feel like they can't get that person too. Well, if you coordinate and work it out and this organization has a 6-month partnership with them, and then you're going to hop in with your organization and you're going to pass the baton on to the next one, you absolutely can use and have access to the same person or the same bank or the same whoever you want in town. But this COVID has done a great thing for a lot of organizations. It's forced them to go online and look outside your local community. You know, there's so many people out there. I contacted, I forget who it was in New Mexico, but they were looking for something. And based on their background, I just did a Google search of billionaires in New Mexico. And it turns out two of the top 10 billionaires had a similar background as the person in question. I was like, you have connections based on your story and your hardships and the things you've gone through with a couple of billionaires in your state. They're in a different city, but have you reached out to them? And like, I had never even considered it. I had never even thought to look at making a connection in that way. And if you want to, you know, get on the podcast train and you want to talk to some of the people that Wally's talked to, figure out who they've had on their show or guests they've been on other shows, and start working your way up the chain. Maybe you get on Wally's podcast and talk about what you're doing. And then you look at his list and see who else he's had on the list. And then when you reach out to that person, that big fish that you're trying to get a hold of, you say, you know, I'd love to have you on the show or be a guest on your podcast. I've already been on with Wally and Jeremy and Jeff and Pitbull and all these other people. And you're working your way up and you're getting that credibility as you move up the chain. Pitbull might not have time for you today. He might not. He might, but he might not. But if you've worked with these 6 other people that he knows, likes, and trusts already, it's going to make perfect sense for him to have you into your network because there's a value and there's that known factor already. But with abundance, that's possible. With scarcity, you would never even consider it.
Yeah, because it's all about take. And that's the other thing. You know, you're going to reach out to somebody. Say, for instance, you're going to reach out to somebody like Pitbull. First off, why? You got to give that. You got to find out what it is that motivates them. Maybe they have and that's one of the things that you'll learn through blue fishing with Steve, is maybe they've got a cousin that's got autism, and that's one of their big causes that they give to all the time. Well, you're connected with autism. You give to autism. You have a platform for autism, for the, you know, awareness, or you name it. I'm just using that for an example. Pitbull specifically is trying to help small business owners. So that's the connection that I have, that I can reach out to him. And there's many other people. And you talk, you know, you brought up John. Well, he's Nick Valentine on Facebook, but he goes by John as well. John, he's got battle boxes. What's he doing? He's bringing a bunch of veteran combat. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the correction. Combat boxes. And he's bringing a bunch of veteran business owners together to fill these boxes so that they can hand them out as, you know, get on a subscription model. But he's also working with a lot of other nonprofits. And it's the collaboration just makes everybody else, like you said, it just improves the community across the board.
If you're a veteran listening to this show and you haven't talked to John, quote unquote, Nick Valentine and got your product into his combat boxes, drop him a line on Facebook. He'd love to talk to you. Go to combatboxes.com and figure out how you can get your thing, whatever your stuff is, put into his box so you get access to a whole other network of people that care about what veterans is doing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's just a great way to get your business out there and really provide a service as well. Plus you just want to be connected with Nick. That's just no two cents about that. No two ways about that, man. The dude's busy. I don't know how. I'm like, dude, no, he's way busier than I want to be in my retired life.
It's a processes and procedures thing, right? You, if you're a JLD, if you're a John Lee Dumas disciple and you listen to EO Fire, you get in your zone of fire. If you listen to me, what I talk about zone of genius all the time. I know where my zone of genius is. I know the things that I'm good at. The things that I'm not good at, I share with my team, my production team, or I ask my partners to see how they can help do that with me together. Or I'm very close to getting into the VA space. If you listen to my podcast about Rocket Station and what the VAs are doing over in the Philippines, these things are fantastic. You can offload a bulk of the admin work that you're doing to a VA for $10 an hour or so, and then free up all that time that you're spending in minutia. If you're a nonprofit listening to this, you've got your all-out world-class fundraiser, but you've got him doing 6 hours of admin work and minutia a day, and he's got you $300,000 last year. Imagine that's only 2 hours a day worth of work. Imagine if he was doing six more hours of that a day and doing the real quality work that only he can do, and offload kind of the BS that anyone could be doing onto someone else. Wouldn't you rather have that guy in the field crushing it in that area than you just having him do paperwork? Oh, did you handwrite that letter? Someone else can handwrite the stinking letter. It doesn't have to be this guy. That guy can tell that person what to say, but he doesn't have to be the guy getting hand cramps. You know, he doesn't have to be that guy doing that stuff. Offload and share and delegate the things that maybe is outside of your zone of genius, or maybe it is in your zone of genius, but you just really don't like doing it. Offload that stuff to somebody else and let them take the load off and let you do what you truly love.
Even veteran business owners, been in business, solopreneurs are, goodness gracious, many of them, they could be doing so much better. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of the American businessman walking on the beach and runs into the guy coming up with his fish off the boat. Have you heard this?
Yeah, I think this is a story in the 4-Hour Workweek, right?
It's in the 4-Hour Workweek. It's also in Prosperous Coach. But the bottom line is this. If you're happy where you're at in your business, then hey, great, more power to you. It's kind of like with myself. I personally do not want to be so busy that I can't go do stuff with my family, that I can't, like Thanksgiving, just get up and just drive down to Killeen, you know, 18-hour drive time, and just enjoy ourselves along the way. I don't want to be so busy that I can't just get up and go down to, you know, Universal or Disney World when I feel like it. You know, that's just me and my lifestyle. But if you're at your wit's end, and I see it all the time, people posting on social media that they're so busy, they don't even have weekends. They don't know what vacations are. And you're building a business. I get it. You got to do that from the beginning. But at some point, if you truly want out of that lifestyle and stop complaining about it, some people just like to complain about it. I get that. That's a fact.
It's part of the magic. If they get all the attention, they complain.
It is. There's one veteran. I won't mention his name. I tried to. He put a thing in a Facebook post, and he said, if I could only get more clients, and somebody posted it, well, if you'd open your doors, I thought, well, that's kind of rude. But then I start giving some free information and some free, you know, stuff like this. I did a video for him. He, to this day, because I track it, I can see who watches my videos when I do these videos for people. And I showed him what's going on with his website, things he can improve on his Instagram, things he can do on Facebook, this, that, and the other, all the stuff I took the time to look for and point out to him. He still to this day has not watched that video. And he just kept saying the same stuff. Well, I just need more clients. I just need more people to come in the door. Now I see why that dude made the rude comment about, well, your doors aren't open, because he wants to be there. But my point is, you have to do, if you really want to grow, then learn what Travis just said, do what Travis just said, get some people doing the things that you should not be doing as a business owner so that you can stay in your zone and get, be so much more productive and get more done.
There's tons of books out there. There's the E-Myth Revisited. There's people at our friends at rocketstation.com that'll help you create the process. You're not sure exactly what it is that you're doing or how you're doing it, and they'll dissect this thing with you and show you in the pot and process and make it a real procedure that's repeatable. And that's what is called creating systems in your business or in your nonprofit. See, especially if you're a solo shop and you're the janitor and the CEO, you're the fundraiser, you're the executive director, you're the PR guy, you don't have time to do all that stuff. You don't have the energy to all that stuff. And you might be able to do it for a week or a month or a year or maybe 2 years. But eventually, you're going to start wearing yourself out. It's just like that, you know, fancy tool that you have in your toolbox, the big screwdriver that you use for everything. It's a screwdriver and it's a hammer and it's a crowbar. Eventually, you're going to wear that thing out. And that's what's happening with you. You're getting wore out. You're getting beat down. You're not saying yes to help. You're not watching the video that Wally dissected for you to show you exactly what you can do and how you can change this up and how you can switch things. But it's great that you talked about that because you actually have a special offer for our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of what you were just talking about. One of the things that I truly enjoy doing is in order for you to go anywhere, if you're going to go anywhere, road trip, you start your business, learn a new instrument, you have to know where you are. What is your current skill level? Where is your business at? Then you have to know, where do you want to be? Where's the destination? Where do you want to be 12 months from now to 5 years from now? Let's just think about it. What would you like to do? And then you have to look at the roadblocks in between where you are and where you want to be. So what I do is I have some software that I use, and I do an assessment of the business. And I primarily do this for service-based businesses, but I can do this on any business, either on the operations side and marketing or on the digital marketing side and give you a digital marketing footprint and show you where you're at, where you want to be, show you some of the roadblocks and strategies to knock those roadblocks down. And when you leave that assessment, you get the recording of our conversation. You get a detailed report that my team puts together, along with a roadmap for you to follow step by step if you're the DIY type of person, and many business owners are and entrepreneurs are. Shame on you. I'll say that up front, first off, because it's great to be DIY to a certain extent, but if you're listening to what Travis and I are talking about, you're not going to grow that way, but you have to start there. So you have that, and you can go on and implement however you like. And that'll be in the, just go to menofabundance.com/NPA for nonprofit architect. And that'll be right there for you. Just go there and check that out. I have a little introductory video and kind of share some more stuff about myself if you care to know.
And that's, how much does that normally cost and how much are you charging our listeners today?
Oh, great question. Normally, with everything that I just shared right there, it's normally $500, $497. And because they are your listeners, and to be quite frank with you, I do this quite often on shows that I'm on. Many people won't take me up on it. I don't know if they're afraid of it. I don't know if they're afraid to find out where they are. But listen, we can sign a non-disclosure agreement. I'm not going to share your information with anybody. And I'm just doing it just because, I dig Travis. I dig what he's doing. And, you know, having this conversation on the show, I just like to give. But I can't do it for everybody. So you got to go there, and I'll have the information on the site that I just shared with you. And Travis will have it in the show notes and stuff, I'm sure. So, yeah, just go there and check that out. But obviously, I can't do that for everybody. I am very busy, and it takes about 45 minutes if we do it right, depending on the dialogue.
That's cool. So it's normally $497, but we're giving it away to our listeners for
free.
For $0.
$0. I'm not charging anything for you folks.
You know what? That is fantastic. Thank you so much, Wally. And thank you for sharing that with our clients. I know we are mostly geared towards the startup phase of nonprofits, kind of idea through 5 years. And no one's told me different so far. So I'm just assuming that that's what people are doing. You have room in your budget for $0. And if you were thinking right now, as you're listening to this, that I have to go ask my board, well, then talk to me about how your board is set up, because you should not have to float a $0 idea past anyone.
Yeah. I got to say, time is money, but let me explain why I'm doing this for free. It's not just because Travis is so damn good looking and came out on my show and just added massive value to my show. He's a veteran. I know many listeners are veterans. Most of you are nonprofits. I'm doing this out of really selfish reasons. I want to learn more about your business. I want that knowledge and information in my head and in my software so that I can have that for businesses that I charge for and that I get clients. And you know, I just got a client this week in Canada. I've got clients in Canada, Australia, UK, United States, and I had one in India, but we're not working together anymore, but I've worked in India as well. Maybe that's why I got so many listeners in India. I don't know. But anyway, the bottom line is this. I get information from every one of those conversations. And rather you and quite frankly, most people, I won't say most, but I have a pretty high success rate. Many people that do this assessment realize they don't want to do the work by themselves. And when I see how much money they're leaving on the table by not implementing these simple strategies in their business, it's not just about, oh, I'm going to do an assessment, see where I'm at, see where I want to be, and find some Roblox. No, I'm going to literally use your numbers and show you the money that you are leaving on the table very conservatively. I use very conservative numbers and show you how much you're leaving on the table. Then you can go implement on your own if you want to. Complete transparency, chances are you're not going to want to go implement it yourself. And if you do become a client of mine, it's going to be very, very, let me put it this way. My services are free because when we start working together, what I help you implement in revenue and profits is going to pay for my services.
Isn't that amazing? I talk to so many people in the startup space and I have free giveaway that I do to anyone that wants it. It's how to convert your social media followers into monthly recurring donors. I've had a lot of success with this thing. Super easy to implement. It's $0 to collect the money for PayPal or whatever payment service you use. It's $0 to create a t-shirt or some kind of other product from someone that does drop shipping. I have some people in there. And it's $0 for me to walk you through it and craft a social media post to put online. And so many people don't do it, even though I've had a startup nonprofit make one social media post using this formula and 100 people said yes to $20 a month, which quick math is $2,000 a month for your nonprofit to use on whatever it is that you need. $2,000 a month can help rent a church to use their kitchen to cook meals from the homeless. $2,000 a month can help you monetize or finally start paying that volunteer some love. $2,000 a month can hire Preston Cohen and he can come in and use the Google ad grant and funnel another 10,000 people a month into your organization who also are going to be on recurring giving. But so many people won't take the few steps and the few things that it takes to make this happen that it is just astounding. I'm astounding that they don't do it, but I'm not shocked when I see them making posts that we're going to have to close up shop or we're going to have to reduce services because something that I'll literally do with you vis-a-vis for you, they're not taking advantage of for whatever reason they have in their head. They don't think it right. It doesn't make sense. The profit margins on the t-shirts. Fun fact, that only matters the first month because month two, they're giving you the $20 and you're not giving them anything in return. Month after month, that $20 is coming in per person, helping you move your mission forward, move the needle forward, and help the community that you're trying to help.
Yeah. And in fact, I heard you talk about that on one of your podcasts. I'm trying to remember who the guest was, but I'm sure you've talked about it multiple times. But I was blown away with that strategy. I was like, man, that is brilliant. But again, you also said at the same time, not many people will actually implement it. I don't understand it. I really don't. There's so many amazing strategies out there. I think what it is, to be quite frank with you, is there's so many amazing strategies out there and all of them work to various degrees in different industries and people just get confused. Pick one, apply it, and stick with it. You can't do it for 2 or 3 hours and 2 or 3 days and say, well, that don't work. No, it takes time, man. So people aren't patient enough to make stuff work these days, I guess. I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, so I've been running this podcast. This thing is probably going to get released in March. We're recording this thing in December. At this point, I've been doing the podcast for about 1 year and 3 months. I've had some really dumpy numbers in a couple of months. I've had some great numbers in a few months. I think right now we're over 1,100 downloads a month, which if you care about numbers, there's some numbers for you. But there's been times where I've wanted to hang it up. I'm a big thriver on feedback. I love feedback. I don't care if you tell me, Travis, you're the worst host of all time. That's feedback. That helps me navigate and decide and determine what it is that I'm doing as a podcast host, as a business owner, as a veteran, as a dad, as a Christian, as a husband, as all the different titles that I hold. That feedback helps me get on the right track. It lets me know where my left and right limits are. That's what helps me grow as a person. That's what helps motivate me as someone that produces content. I don't know if you feel the same way about, you know, feedback that you get, but you know, I wasn't getting feedback. People weren't telling me, "Hey man, your show's great. I love this. It helped me do this." Man, wonderful. That'll keep me, that one comment will keep me going for 3 or 4 weeks, just nonstop. But I've considered hanging up and shutting the doors, and it'd be so easy to. I just click the button. I say, "I'm not doing it anymore." I shut down the website and it's done and it's over with.
Yeah, it's not easy running a quality podcast, but I'm right there with you. And then just when you're ready to hang it up, it's almost like that image of the guy with the pick and he's like 3 feet from the gold vein, you know, and it's like somebody sends you an email or gives you a phone call, hits you up on, you know, whatever social media, says, "Dude, that episode like literally saved my life," or this, "I needed to hear that today," or any number of things. And you're like, "Oh, I needed that." That's like the second, third, fourth, fifth wind, man. That just puts the wind in your sails.
Oh yeah. Like to know that I've been on the same podcast with Jeremy Paris and Jeff Hoffman and Lee Cockrell and all these greats. That gives me a little bit of ego boost.
Stephen Kuhn. That's a matter of fact. That's who I heard. I heard you talking with Stephen Kuhn on your show. And that, you guys were talking about that topic, and he's brilliant as well.
He's phenomenal. I had both. So I went to meet him in Vienna last year over Veterans Day, which was just really cool. If you're listening to this in 2020 or 2021, I don't mean 2020. I mean 2019 when I say last year. What just a wonderful man. He's like, "Come on out and meet me." We went out. He was speaking at a conference. We went to one of his clients' places in Western Austria. And he's like, "What are you doing for the week? What are you doing for the weekend?" I was like, "I've got no plans." He's like, "You're out here in Europe just to meet me with no plans?" I'm like, "Yep, why not?" And he's like, "Well, if you're interested, you're definitely invited to come stay with my wife and my kids and hang out at my house in Budapest. And you can kind of listen in on some coaching calls and some different things I'm doing, kind of coaching through osmosis. Would you be interested?" I'm like, "Heck yeah, sign me up. Why not?" That's the kind of people that I want in my life. That's the kind of people I want to be associated with. You know, that's the kind of person that you are. And that goes a long way. That means a lot to me. I don't say that lightly. That's what living a life of abundance can look like, when you can, at a drop of a hat, take in some strange man you met on the internet and have him in your house or around your family for a week, because you're just giving value and you're just being that person that cares.
Kind of like what Jesse Itzler did with David Goggins, right? You familiar with that? Living with a Navy SEAL?
Yeah. Yeah, David Goggins, Navy SEAL.
Yeah, Jesse Itzler.
Absolutely. His books are fantastic, and his message is phenomenal. Share that with the listeners that may not have heard that about David Goggins.
Well, yeah, Jesse Itzler. If you don't know who Jesse Itzler is, he was started the whole Marquee Jets and all that kind of stuff, and was a rapper back in the day and worked a lot with 50 Cent and all kinds of stuff. He's a, you know, very good, amazing businessman in his own right, married to why can't I remember her name? She started Spanx. Anyway, he was out on a run, and one of these long, long distance runs, and he sees this one guy sitting over here in a lawn chair. Everybody else has got these teams with him and stuff. This one guy over there in a lawn chair eating some, I think, peanut butter out of a jar or something like that. And he's like, "Who the heck is this guy? He ain't going to make it." Well, he made it. And at the end, Jesse was like, "I need whatever that guy has." And he literally hired David Goggins to come live in his house with him and his wife and his kids for like a month or something like that. And he wrote a book about it called Living with a Navy SEAL. That was my first introduction to David Goggins, because I was already following Jesse Itzler. And so then, you know, then you got David. That's a whole other conversation right there.
That's Sarah Blakely.
Sarah Blakely. Thank you. And I saw her actually not too long ago, a year or so ago, down here in Tampa. She was at an event. She was born and raised right here in Clearwater, Florida. So she came home.
The more and more people, like one out of three or one out of four people I meet in the nonprofit space, are doing amazing things are in the Tampa Clearwater area. every time a name comes up, like, oh, you're amazing. Where are you at? Oh, I'm at Rose at Tampa. And you're like, how is Tampa like the Mecca of awesome people?
I don't know, man.
Do I get to move there when I retire from the Navy?
I guess. They say this is God's waiting room. But I'm a long ways off, brother. Man, what a great conversation. Hope everybody's getting as much out of this as I am.
You talked about the kind of selfish reason you give away, you know, this freebie. The selfish reason that I do these kind of podcasts is I get to meet and talk to amazing people that are excited about what they do, that live abundant lives, that are trying to give back for whatever the reason. And it's a little selfish to me because I get to have wonderful conversations all day. My daughter came and left during the recording of this, and she's working at Slim Chickens and making $9.50 an hour as a high school senior. Mm. And yeah,
that's money for a high school senior.
Heck yeah. But I know the kind of conversation she's having at work, running at the front counter at a fast food restaurant. I know the kind of people she's around. I know what kind of customers they have coming in. I know what it's like working in that kind of world. And you may have a couple of good days, but you don't have near the quality of days that I have talking to people like Wally. And this is like my third or fourth call of the day. You know, like I've been getting this injection of awesomeness all day long. If you're listening to this and haven't started a podcast yet, hop on eofire.com, listen to JLD, teach you how to do a podcast. Hop on a call with me. I'll tell you how I did it. It is like one of the coolest things. Even if I never monetize this, even if I make $0 on this for the rest of my life, that's not my goal. But even if that happens, the amount of knowledge and the amount of connections and the amount of just passion I get infused with each and every day is worth it. It's worth me paying for if I never monetize this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of my favorite parts of the whole Men of Abundance journey is just I get pumped. I have the conversations every Tuesday and I just get so pumped up from every one of those conversations. Sometimes I even go into them going, man, I just don't feel like having this conversation today. And I get on there and I just get off the call just totally, totally pumped up, man. You can look at it as a selfish reason but then I pay it forward and you do too. You pay forward the knowledge. And there you go. The abundance, living the abundance mindset.
I tell you what, Wally, I hate to cut this thing off, but my wife's coming home from work in a little bit and I want to see her. It's about that quality of life that Stephen and Lane talk about all the time. Where can the good people listening to this, where can they find you and interact with you, ask you questions or buy your stuff?
One place they need to go. And that's menofabundance.com. And specifically for your listeners, I have a specific page specifically set up for them at menofabundance.com/NPA. Just go there. Everything you need is right there.
If you're listening to this and you're like, man, I'm thinking about this right now and I'd love to connect with Wally, and you don't do it, shame on you. Because Wally, first off, is going to help ignite your life and your fuel and your passion. He's going to make you better with this free assessment. And regardless, he's just a great guy to talk to and a great guy to network with. Get on the phone with Wally. We do this for fun and we do this for some specific reasons, but we also do it to connect with our audience. Get on a call, get on my calendar, talk to me if you haven't. Like Travis, I've been listening to like 10 episodes. Have you talked to me yet? I want to hear from you. I want you to hop on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. 1 star, Travis, you suck. Whatever the thing is, I don't care. Give me feedback. Connect with me. Connect with Wally. Give him 5 stars because he was a great guest today. Whatever the thing is, reach out and let us help you where you are. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Wally. It's been a great time.
It's my pleasure, brother.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.